Okay, here we go. The Penn and Mega Show. He's about to get crazy and wild. Stay for a while. Don't touch your radio dial. The Penn and Mega Show. Kicking it back, sports talk. Listen to that and stay tuned for some giggles and laughs. Go.
I just got a review and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again.
Welcome to the Penn and Mikey Show.
Is that Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Oscars.
I watched a little bit of it. He tries to be like...
he's an asshole.
Be cerebral. But he's reading everything. He does it well. He's comfortable.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
But he tries to be a little bit like somebody that he's not.
He thinks he's droll.
Like Dennis Miller.
You know what? He's... I'm going to say it again. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
I don't watch him ever on his show. I don't give a rat's ass about the guy. I don't think he's that funny. I'm sick and fucking tired of the guy.
He does a good job at being not funny, but he's smooth.
Well, he does a good job at being not funny.
He's smooth.
A lot of people are good at that. You know, I've known a lot of people who are not funny in my life.
Like, why don't you just look at me, you dick?
That's right. That's exactly right. How funny you that you noticed I looked at you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just so you know, I've been in this radio industry now for 51 years.
Is this an anniversary day?
No.
Oh.
I just wanted to mention that because, you know, I'm decrepit. But 44 years ago, when I was on WCCC in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
I had a morning show,
yeah,
and I used to start the morning show with a very special song.
You had like a theme song?
It was just the kind of the way I kind of kicked off the whole kind of, you know, irreverent mood of the broadcast.
Set the tone of the day.
And here it is.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. I'll sit on your face and tell you I love you too. I love to hear you oralize. When I'm between your thighs, you blow me away. Sit on my face and let my lips embrace you. I'll sit on your face and then I'll love you truly. Life can be fine if we both 69. We sit on the present and present.
Feels good, huh? It's like going back 44 years on a time machine.
That's great. You know, all those...
All right, do their song, I Like Chinese.
Hey, no, you know what I used to play, though, on the radio?
I used to have that album.
Turning Japanese by The Vapors.
I really think so.
You know the song.
Hey, there you go.
You weren't even born when that song came out.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about music.
I like saying that to people.
You still weren't listen even to it
born.
Later.
I've been doing that since before you were born. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, the fact that my oldest son is 4 years younger than you, older than you.
Yes.
I just talked to him today, Scotty boy.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's living down in southwest Connecticut, you know, where the rich people live?
Mm-hmm.
Although he's not rich.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, he does lawns. No, I'm kidding. We are brought to you by Pro Automotive of Webster and Dudley, proautomotivema.com, $199.
If you've got trouble with your car, truck, or SUV,
forgot about that.
Pro Automotive is who to see.
Pro Automotive. 199 Oxford Avenue, Dudley, 626 South Main Street, Webster, and 8 Englewood Street in Webster. Also, Vinny was on Facebook talking about some, you know, Vinny's great at what he does.
He is.
Shawsheen Firearms is a great, I mean, he's a professional.
There, and Bill Rickle will give him a plug.
So somebody, he got pissed at somebody who gave him a one-star review instead, because he's a five-star guy.
Easily, Vinny. Yeah, easily.
And even if you have a bad experience, it's still going to be 4.5 because he's good. But somebody gave him one, so he went off on this guy, and it was hilarious. So I went on and I said, I put my recommendation on it. Oh, Christ. I said, Vinny's a five-star guy. Shut the fuck up. Anyway, we also have, you know, Richie from Giacomo's was supposed to come in here and be on the podcast, but I haven't heard back from the guy.
Is he going to bring food?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be nice? Meatballs and sauce and stuff.
Gift coupon. You know what I love about gift coupons? You get them from somebody, you say, oh, look at this, Burger King. Buy 3 Whoppers get one free. Okay. Yeah. Hey, who eats four Whoppers? You know what I'm saying? It's so stupid.
Plenty of people on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Several things. First of all, where do I begin? I get really, you know, I come
begin
in here.
Right loaded, here.
Loaded for bear.
Yeah. Okay.
I came in and somebody was telling me Eric Carmen died. Do you know who that is?
Eric Cartman from South Park?
No.
No, Carmen.
Yeah, sure.
That's what the younger generation would think. It's Cartman. No, Eric Carmen.
He had like a bunch of like soft rock hits, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. Raspberries. Yeah.
Right. You know, the Raspberries go all the way, which was quite suggestive.
Yeah. Great voice, good musician. Excellent musician, actually.
All by myself.
Yeah.
Don't want to live all by myself.
He wrote
anymore.
It. It was sad. Everybody hated the song except Clive Davis, who said, "That's the hit." Yeah.
Well, now it is sadder because he's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Eric Carmen dead at 74 years old. Dead.
74. Wow.
Or as they say on the internet, Eric Carmen won't be coming down for breakfast. Yeah, all by myself. Did you see the? So I didn't watch the Oscars, but I did see some highlights from it.
Yeah.
Including John Cena and his Pina Wiener coming out of
when he danced out sideways with the card in front of him.
He comes out with his junk covered with the envelope, you know, the winners' names in the envelope, and it was so. To me, it's like, why do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You're inspiring people in a younger generation or in the audience. Well, even old guys do that at old folks' homes.
Wasn't he giving out the award for the best costume designer?
Yeah. Well, right, the tie-in was clear that you know his. And then he had his Johnson and his package behind the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, and he looked so sheepish as he inched his way out there on stage. But, you know, you think about it. When you get old enough to go to, like, a rest home, you can walk around like that all the time. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's Smitty. He does that every night.
Jolly, your dick is hanging out.
Yeah,
oh, thanks a lot.
He usually only does it when he has to go number two. You know. But anyway, John Cena... I call it the John Cena Pina Wiener episode of the and their viewership was actually up from they were at the low a couple of years ago, 10 million viewers. It used to be a 30 million viewer night, the Oscars. And I just find it a mutual ass kissing society. I don't want to hear all these people kiss the asses of all the people they work with. I don't want that.
Dude, it's just boring. It's always been boring. I don't know why people like have reverence for it before from like 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. It was always boring. It's always sucked.
Yeah.
And the only difference is there wasn't anything else on a Sunday night in late March.
And the Whiny Awards were more entertaining when they were at their peak. You know, normally you don't want to get on there and talk about people you work with. You see them every single day. Can you imagine if we had an award banquet at WEEI every year and I had to come out there and say, now here's my replacement, hairy back, monkey man, mutt. He's a good kid. You know, Minahan almost ruined him, but he's a good kid.
We should have an award ceremony on this show.
Should we?
Sure.
The first annual?
Where the three of us just give each other awards?
Yep, we do that every year. This year, it's Mike Adams.
Speaking of celebrations, you know how I like to do baseball? I like to bring attention to athletes and baseball players in particular who no one thinks about anymore.
Yes.
Some of those don't fit into this category, but today's the 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the 12th of March?
12th of March.
Yes, it is.
Daryl Strawberry is 62 years old today.
Wow.
Holy cow. I wonder if he still does like 15 grams of blow every day.
I think he's down to like 11.
Wow. Unbelievable. Dale Murphy, who maybe should be in the Hall of Fame. You know what? I didn't write down what year he was born. You know who's having a birthday too? The Toy Cannon. You know who that was?
The Toy Cannon.
A baseball player with the nickname The Toy Cannon.
Oh, I've heard it before. It's going to drive me crazy.
Can you tell us how we got that name?
He's about 5'6", and he hit a lot of home runs, and he was a really good power hitter. But they called him the Toy Cannon. His name was Jimmy Wynn. Jim Wynn from the Houston Astros. Remember him? His birthday today.
Dale Murphy's 68.
Is he really?
Today.
Old goat. And the other thing I want to mention, this Johnny Callison, does he ring a bell with you guys?
No.
Played for the Phillies and some other teams. I think he played for the Cubs a little bit, maybe even finished with the Yankees. The reason I say bring up Johnny Callison is because when I was like 6, my neighbor, Kenny Hicks, convinced me that Johnny Callison was better than Mickey Mantle.
He convinced you.
I was six. Yeah. I mean, he was old. He's like 10, and he said, "Oh no, you." And I liked the hat because the Phillies had red hats, and I was six, so I said, "Okay." So I traded Mickey Mantle baseball card for Johnny Callison's card, and I went home. And I showed my older brother, and he said, "What are you? What are you, an asshole?" No, he,
what are you, an idiot? Yeah,
you were.
He was only 10.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You know, but I used to put all the cards on the spokes of my wheels anyway.
So dumb.
I know, but back then they were a penny each.
Do you still have any of the mantles?
I got some mantles, yeah. At home. Why, you want to buy one?
Yeah.
Did you used to take a clothespin?
If you're willing to trade one for a Johnny Callison card.
Well, I was six. I'm not six anymore, okay? Oof. So Johnny Callison that had stuck in my mind. Now, here's what happened. 1964, I met, you know, Dick Raddatz was my favorite player in 1964. He's, the monster on the Red Sox. He pitched in the All-Star game. And he gave up the game-winning home run to Johnny Callison, who never did shit other than that. And every time I'd remind Raddatz of that, he'd say, "Oh, don't bring that shit up, Jesus Christ! He didn't like thinking about that."
Johnny Callison was second in MVP that year,
64.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who won the National League MVP in 64?
Oh, I know Brooks won it in the American League. 64 National League. Was it a Cardinal?
It was.
Was it Lou Brock?
It was not.
No, wait, Bob Gibson?
It was not.
No, it was it. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Let's see how long this goes.
1964.
Ken Boyer.
It was.
Ken Boyer.
Ken Boyer, who hit a grand slam in the first World Series game I ever saw at Yankee Stadium, 1964, Game 4 against Al Downing. Ken Boyer, third base, and Brooks Robinson, third base. Two MVPs. It was the year of the third sacker. I only have one sack. All right, so anyway, happy birthday to those two guys. Tomorrow, Will Clark and the fabulous Eddie Pellegrini, one of the greats. The following day, the 14th, Kirby Puckett turns 60, or what? He's dead.
Yeah, well, he's been
dead. But he was born in 1960, so that would make him, what, 64?
He was so good.
Yeah, but he died too early. He and teammate Butch Weiniger share a birthday on the 14th of March. The 15th. The Greek god of walks, he's actually Jewish, Kevin Youkilis.
Youk.
Yeah, Youkilis turns 45. And then Mike Pagliarulo, who's a Massachusetts guy. Harold Baines, who should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Nope.
And Barry Bonds' dad,
Bobby,
is 78 years old. Who else have I got? Oh, on the 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, and we will not be here for St. Patrick's Day because we have the day off.
Yeah.
You know, Irish priorities. Bill Miller. I love Bill Miller because he gets no credit at all for all the tremendous things he did. He won a batting title.
Yeah.
For the Red Sox. Everybody talks about Dave Roberts. You know, he stole that base, you know. Well, guess who drove him in after he stole second base? Bill Miller. And they don't talk about him, but they kiss Robert's ass all the time. Bill Miller was great.
Hit 326 that year, led the league.
Hey, he also hit a home run he's a switch hitter. He hit a home run from the right side and left side in the same game, and he hit Mariano Rivera. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. I love Bill Miller. We should get him on the podcast. So let's get him on the podcast. Seriously.
Oh, all right.
He doesn't swear. He's a religious guy. He doesn't swear like we do.
Oh, fuck. Man. He's going to feel uncomfortable around you.
But we should get him on the podcast anyway.
Who, in your estimation, is the best ball player on earth today?
On earth today?
Yeah, who would you pay money to go see?
Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, because he does both. But he's hurt, so I don't know.
Yeah, he'll probably still be an awesome hitter.
I am so disinterested in the Boston Red Sox all of a sudden. You know, my whole life.
All of a sudden?
Well, yeah.
It's been like 3 years where you cared.
But my whole life I've been a Red Sox fan, and I watch the games. I go to the games. I go to a million games. I did the interviews at the game. I worked at a Red Sox flagship station. I went down to live. The Red Sox are part of my life. Mm. Now, I honestly can't look at their roster and say anything excites me on that roster. What, Bayo?
Devers?
Devers is good. Yeah, he's good, but he doesn't excite me. You know, he's not like... He has his flaws defensively.
He does.
He has his flaws. And, you know, it's hard being me because I'm flawless pretty much.
Mm.
That's kind of the way I look at it. Anyway, so we wished all the happy birthdays to these people. And it's important that you remember the guys who weren't that good. Like the other day, I tweeted about Steve Howe, the pitcher.
Steve
Howe.
Remember him?
Dodgers?
Dodgers and Yankees. He was suspended 7 times for drug use from Major League Baseball. 7 times.
And how?
He had.
If he was white, they wouldn't have let it get that far. I mean, if he was black, they wouldn't have let it get that far.
They suspended him 7 fucking times. The guy had issues with alcohol and cocaine. He started doing both of them when he was 14.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
But he pitched well. You know, so he went up through the major league. I think he also got caught with like a gun and cocaine at the airport.
Oh, that's always fun.
It's like lawyers, guns, and money, baby. Yeah. I guess I have what you might call news items. But first, before we do that, let me play you the audio. Now, you know I'm from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't born there, but I spent the first 38 of my 39.
The nutmeg state.
Yeah. The Constitution state.
Yeah.
You know, everybody I know there is old now. They're going to change it to the constipation state.
I've always heard the cops down there are pretty tough.
Well, here's what happened on the highway near New Haven, Connecticut. This guy was, I guess the cop was chasing after somebody who was speeding, and this other guy cut in front of him and was weaving in and out, and so he pulled over the second guy.
I mean,
he
so let the somebody other, interfered with the police chase?
He let the guy go that he was chasing and pulled over the asswipe that was, and we have the audio. This cop goes absolutely bullshit on this.
See, the blue car.
Yeah, which one?
Was tailing me.
Yeah.
While I was pacing a tractor trailer looking for a motor vehicle violation because the governor's office has gotten multiple complaints on traffic stops.
I know.
Okay?
I know that.
So we're out doing our thing.
Okay.
He decides to pass me and flip me off!
All right, Spina, I'm sorry.
All right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So who the fuck do you think you are worried about what I'm doing?
Okay. You're right.
I know I'm right, goddammit!
Sounds like me.
Everyone's got something to fucking say. Mind your own goddamn business. You're fucking speeding. How about I start with that? No shit. I was following that kid for a reason. And if you hadn't done that fucking stupid stunt, I'd be with him right now. But no, you just couldn't leave it alone, could you? You had to be a fucking American.
You say you had to be a fucking American?
God help you if there's anything illegal in this car. It's in the original dispensary container. It's what?
It's roach weed.
Is it in the original dispensary container?
No.
Guy's got weed.
Fucked. How's that sound?
You're fucked.
No shit. Mind your own fucking business next time. Yeah, it's called shut the fuck up.
This cop was like having a rough day.
That was brutal.
And he really took it to this this road warrior there. I've had some runs. You know, when I used to commute 86 miles a day from Ellington, Connecticut to Newton, Massachusetts for 6 years, both ways, I got 6 speeding tickets in 3 years. But nobody was ever that big of an asshole. And I would always be apologetic. You know, geez, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, and they don't hate you as much when you at least show a little bit of remorse.
You know. Remorse and respect,
and you know, the guy flipped off. The guy that he was originally chasing had flipped him off, so he was pissed.
He was bullshit,
no question about it. And now the news, as they say. We've had a little broadcasting snafu here.
That's the wrong band. Sorry. Great.
All right, you ready? The United States has conducted 6 defense strikes and fired 18 anti-ship missiles in Yemen after the Houthis fired two anti-ship ballistic missiles into the Red Sea. No comment from the blowfish, Joe. The United States Central Command says the Iranian-backed Houthis. I've heard people call them Houthis.
Oh, yeah, Houthis.
Whatever. You know what I say? Fuck them. They fired 2 anti-ship ballistic missiles from Houthi-controlled areas into the Red Sea.
That's always cute.
Toward merchant vessel Pinocchio, a Singaporean-owned. How cute of them to name their ship Pinocchio.
Yeah.
You know what Pinocchio has that the ship doesn't have? Oh, a woodpecker. Liberian flag. It's a Liberian flagged ship. Do they even have flags in Liberia?
Yeah.
The missiles did not impact the vessel. You know, the reason I mention that is because there are wars going on in this world, and it's Joe Biden's fault. Okay. You know, Joe Biden, can I just tell you something? He gets on there, the State of the Union, which I did watch, and he goes, oh, you know, I'm a capitalist. So you make $1 million. Great. Good for you. But pay your taxes. And he points his finger like, pay your taxes.
Come on, man.
Now, does he scream that at his son, Hunter Biden, after he makes $1 million?
No.
Pay your taxes. No, he doesn't say that.
10%
says, put down the crack pipe. when 10 million illegals come across the border and they work under the table, do they pay their taxes? No, they don't pay their taxes. Why doesn't he wag his finger at the 10 million illegals and say, you know what? We let you in. Now pay your fucking taxes.
No, because he wants them to vote for him.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is all about.
That we knew.
We are being replaced.
And he's buying votes with the college group, paying off their loans.
Illegally,
He's buying votes because he has to, because he's a senile, old, doddering goat who steps over his own shit.
Interesting.
Very good.
And now this. Marlo Thomas never stops inspiring us. Are you guys inspired by Marlo Thomas?
Who is that?
Aha.
Danny Thomas's daughter.
That
Who
girl.
Who is that?
She had a show called That Girl
yep.
in the 60s, I think it was. Okay. 70s? 60s, I think. She served as a role model for a generation when she had that TV show.
Yeah.
Her father's Danny Thomas started St. Jude's Hospital.
Yep.
And her ongoing commitment to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, carrying on the work of her father, cements her status as a legend with as much heart as talent.
Yep.
Okay, now you know everything you need to know about Marlo Thomas. I've seen her on TV.
Yeah.
She is crustified.
Oh.
Oh, my God. She's like, hello.
Is that the news?
Hello, I'm Marlo Thomas.
Oh, my God.
You know, I used to be cute and sexy. Now I'm, look at me.
Oh, God.
In a recent interview with New York Magazine, the Emmy winner... I got 3 Emmys. I'm not impressed by her having an Emmy. I got 3, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I don't talk like this.
The people and places depicted in the Planet Mikey podcast are purely fictional. Any similarities to actual people, places, or things, living or dead, is purely coincidental. No animals were harmed in any way during the production of this podcast. Well, okay, we did play Red Rocket with one of the puppies.
That's so sick. Anyway, back to Marlo Thomas. In a recent interview, the New York Magazine interviewed her. The Emmy winner shared a collection of products she simply can't live without.
Oh.
Dildo. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. On that list was a single pair of shoes. Keds Champion sneakers.
Ooh.
She loves her Keds.
Yep.
It makes total sense. Of course, this elegant icon appreciates an all-time classic of streamlined simplicity. Who wrote this shit?
Streamlined simplicity. There you go. It's like this show.
Some nitwit getting $14 an hour to write that shit.
Oh, man.
And now this.
Okay.
You might have seen this awesome. This video is really, really stunningly disgusting. A viral video allegedly showing a group of... What happened to our teletype?
Oh, I thought the news was over.
No, hell no.
And now the news with
hell
Mike
no.
Adams. It continues.
The news continues. I like when they say it's the top of the hour. More news next hour.
We'll be watching.
A viral video showing a group of Missouri high schoolers jumping on another girl is causing a racial uproar.
Oh, that is a video.
Did you see that video?
That girl, that was unbelievably bad. I can't, something, few things in life turn my stomach.
It was disgusting.
I was so pissed at that girl.
And it was a black girl against a white girl.
Yeah.
The black girl was big and kind of heavy, and she grabbed the white girl and smacked, after she smacked her like 25 times, she took her head and smashed it against the pavement multiple, 10 times.
Oh.
And the girl on the ground started going into like conniptions.
Yep,
she
went into a fit, and I think she died.
Well, I don't know if she's dead yet. I haven't read that, but she's in critical condition at least.
Yeah,
and she's probably going to be like mentally deformed for the rest of her life. It was so disgusting.
Girl who attacked her with no impulse control.
And they're saying that, you know, and I think this is accurate, too, that if a white girl did that to a black girl,
it'd be national
headlines. Biden would be meeting with the victim's family tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just brutal. And there were about 20 or 30 people standing around watching, videotaping this thing. Nobody thought, well, maybe I should stop this person from getting killed.
I know. They'd rather just stand there with their camera.
And it's not just, you know, it happens, it's black on black, white on white, black. Oh, it doesn't matter. But this one in particular was disturbing because this girl is going to die or be...
She won't be the same ever again. That was terrible what I saw.
Oh, and
what with all the violence? You see it all over the place in social media. It's gangs of black kids, and I don't know whether they're homeless. I don't know what their problem is.
Fighting with each other mostly.
It's terrible.
You see, they show the spring break video from Miami.
I saw that too, yeah.
And it's, they're fighting each other, pulling their wigs off each other.
I feel bad for these people. Man. I don't know what it is. I think they're just angry, and they have no direction in life.
On a lighter note, and now this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take my lighter and light this on fire here. A male humanoid robot.
Excuse me?
A male humanoid robot appeared to inappropriately touch a female reporter during a presentation of said humanoid robot. This happened in Saudi Arabia. Guess what the robot's name was?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Muhammad.
Oh, my.
There's not enough people in Saudi Arabia named Muhammad. I think they should do something about that. It's their first humanoid male robot. It's supposed to be just like a human, and I guess it holds true. The robot tried to touch the ass of the female reporter as she was standing in front.
Hey, robots have rights, you know.
Did it try and smell her hair?
The robot...
Is this the Biden 3000?
The robot... just pay your taxes! The robot, dressed in traditional Saudi attire, spoke Arabic and English. Muhammad was described as the first Saudi robot in the form of a man. During the presentation, a reporter for Al Arabiya, Rawat Ya Qasem, stood in front of Muhammad as she spoke to the audience. A viral video of the incident showed the robot appearing to extend a hand forward to touch her backside.
Wow. Is this supposed to be a male or a female robot?
It's a male robot.
It's a male humanoid.
Do you not listen?
No, I didn't listen.
No, you didn't listen to the whole.
Listen.
I did the whole.
I don't
first
listen to you at all.
Paragraph. You didn't listen to any of it. Fuck that robot. I hate robots anyway. All right.
All right. Fine.
I didn't know what robots were till I was about 8. I had dyslexia. I thought they were toe bores.
Want a random baseball trivia question?
Yes.
How many World Series titles did Don Baylor win? As a player?
Let me see. He didn't win one with the Angels.
Nope.
He didn't win one with the Orioles. He didn't win one with the Red Sox.
Nope.
He didn't win any.
He won one.
With who?
Minnesota Twins.
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm the arbiter of that. It doesn't count. Here's one for you from the This Is Really Weird file. A rare calf in Louisiana born with... two faces.
Really?
Two faces.
Yeah.
There's a two-faced calf.
Like Lou Christie.
Like Luke, two faces have I.
Hey, that's him.
Yeah, you know, Ben, no. Real quickly, search out Lou Christie, two faces have I, because this is worth listening to. Lou Christie did Lightning Strikes. Was one of his hits.
Yep.
What are we listening to?
We're listening to the spooky music. You're going to tell a story.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to the calf in a second, but first, Lou Christie. The song was called Two Faces Have I. Hey, can you play it?
I just pressed the button.
We'll play it. Here we go.
I don't want the world to know. I don't want my heart to show.
This is horrible.
Wait.
Two faces have I.
Oh boy,
that's Lou Christie.
That was awful.
Hold on. When I was a kid, I was in a band, a high school band, and we opened for Lou Christie.
Shut up!
No, in Canmore Square, at a place called Where It's At.
Oh.
Yep.
I just blew my nose, and all the entire membranes and nose meat came out onto the tissue.
Hold on. So Lou Christie, I'm looking at this guy like, wow, he's making hit records.
Brush with fame.
He's on the radio.
Yeah.
And. At the interviewer came up and said, well, how long do you think your career is going to last, Lou? You've got that high falsetto voice.
A couple weeks.
He said, I've got a beautiful voice. I'm really good looking. I should be around for a long time.
He said that?
He said, I'm really good looking. Yeah.
Was he gay?
And I heard that. I don't know.
Because the way you just portrayed him made me think he was. And I don't know if that's me stereotyping your voice.
Well, you might have, because that's what you do.
Well, Lou Christie. Lou Christie, back to the two-faced calf.
All right.
By the way, if you have two faces, then two people can sit on your face at the same time.
And tell you that they love you.
And tell you, exactly, there like you the Monty Python song we started the show with. See how it all ties together?
Now the story of the two-faced cow.
A rare calf born with two faces, four eyes, two noses, two mouths, and two ears, continued to flourish Thursday, 8 days after its birth at a southwest Louisiana farm. The father of the calf, some guy named Ed.
Yes?
They don't do that down there.
I love how much that cracked you up.
The owners of Bro Farms LLC in Cozeneda, a community 90 miles west of Baton Rouge, said the calf, which appears normal from the ears back, was named Deux Face. It's French for... See, Deux is French for two.
Okay.
It's not like Spanish where it's dos. If it was a Spanish family, they'd call them dos faces.
Now, were these faces, did they look like cows or resemble a human?
Well, no. It's a calf. Four eyes, two noses, two mouths, and two. You know, they were considering getting the mother of this an abortion, decaffeinating her. Anyway, the chance for this type of birth is 1 in 400 million.
Yeah.
According to Eric and Don Bro, they own the farm. Here's a quote from Don.
We know this calf will have a short lifespan and will most likely only live a few days. She has beaten a lot of odds by being born alive.
And then the husband chipped in. Never mind having two noses and four eyes and two mouths and shit. Most calves with polycephaly, the condition of having more than one head.
Yes.
See, to me, the more head, the better. Heads, the better.
Well, yeah, of course.
So, all right, enough about this freak-ass cow. I don't even think I want to know any more about this. By the way, the calf is not for sale.
Thanks for that story, Mike.
The butcher's having a sale on calf faces. All right, now, another news story. You ready for another one?
Yes. A news story?
Yes.
Now the news continues with Mike Adams.
A New York City man who admitted to smuggling three Burmese pythons in his pants through a U.S.-Canadian border crossing was sentenced Wednesday to a year of probation and fined $5,000. When you think about it, though, that's only like about $1,670 per python.
Jesus.
Calvin Bautista is his name, 38 years old, crossed into northern New York with the hidden snakes on a bus from Montreal to New York City.
Calvin.
The young adult snakes were hidden in the inner thigh of his pants in snake bags tied to the pants' drawstring. Yeah, the guy had a system.
There you go.
You know.
So he thought...
I have a hard time going through customs with just my one python in my pants.
How do you tie it in there?
I don't use drawstrings, I'll tell you that right now. Oh, I use those things, those bread twisters. All right, they were discovered by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers, keeping us safe from Burmese pythons.
There you go, thank you.
They're a big problem in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Guy lives in Queens, and he purchased the snakes, which are worth more than $2,500, at a reptile store in Canada.
Yeah.
According to... court documents.
A reptile store.
Importation of Burmese pythons is regulated by an international treaty and by U.S. federal regulations listing them as, quote, injurious to human beings. Well, so it's illegal.
And to the environment. Look, a couple of them got loose down in Florida. Look what's happening down there in the Everglades now.
I'm about to tell you that, too. The Burmese python, one of the world's largest snakes, considered a vulnerable species in its native Asia and is invasive in Florida, where it threatens native animals.
It'll eat anything.
A lot of animals in Florida. You watch Cops?
I saw one go after a giant alligator. A cop. Yes, his name was Anaconda. But
I have a new strain called Bananaconda.
See?
I got it from the dispensary. It's called Bananaconda.
What happens? It wraps itself around your throat?
I smuggled it in through the Canadian border in my pants. I stuck it in three snakes, and they didn't even notice.
The snake bag trick.
Now, here's something, speaking of drugs, okay, and I don't like to end on a down note, especially before we get into some musical entertainment.
Yes.
But 3 years ago, Oregon became the first state in the country to decriminalize illicit drugs. What do you think happened?
More
aside
drug
from the
use.
Teletype getting louder.
It's so loud.
What? Did I move into the newsroom for a live shot?
That's right.
You know, I used to actually work near those machines, in the old teletypes. That's how long I've been in radio.
That's why they're always in those cases with the little window on them.
States struggle with raging opioid epidemics. Many health advocates say Oregon's experience was complicated by decriminalizing for many factors. Decriminalization supporters say penalties lead to high rates of incarceration for drug offenses.
Oh, yeah, we can't
offense.
Have that.
Oh, no. Which pose barriers to housing, jobs, and more basic needs for functioning members when they get out. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you go to jail, you get out. We all saw Shawshank Redemption.
We did.
Red didn't like being out.
No.
Red was here.
No, that's the other guy. Kilroy, or one of the other...
Oh,
It wasn't Red that wrote that. He read it.
Yeah.
Red
Brooks. Brooks was here.
Brooks was here. Thank
Brooks.
You.
Yeah.
He should have got a Brooks Brothers suit. He would have gotten a job and not killed himself. Poor guy. Was that James Whitmore played that part? Was that James Whitmore played Brooks?
I don't remember.
Wait, Red wrote his name up there too, though.
Maybe later.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't first. Anyway, Oregon's action comes as federal government's on the cusp of reclassifying marijuana and recognizing its medical benefits, which I've recognized since 1969.
Yeah.
Other drugs on the Controlled Substances Act, including a higher, more potential heroin, meth, remain illegal with stiff penalties across the country. But Oregon decriminalized that. And here's what they said. This is what they said is going to stop people from doing this.
Give us the official word, Mike.
The law, 58% of the voters in Oregon passed a ballot measure in 2020 to decriminalize possession of small amounts of illicit drugs and invest in treatment and recovery efforts.
Efforts.
The law went into effect in 2021. It did not legalize drugs, but it removed prison sentences and imposed a $100 fine, which could be eliminated if users contacted a hotline to undergo addiction screening.
Oh.
So, in other words, no penalty at all. You wonder why there's people in the streets of Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and in Seattle, to be fair, San Francisco, shooting up on the sidewalk in front of everybody, crapping on the sidewalk, pissing in the gutters, laying there, you know, I mean, this is a squalor, it's Skid Row.
It is, and look what the, I hate to say it, look what the Democrats have brought into our lives.
Oh, they just don't understand. They don't understand it. You know, I'm a centrist libertarian. I understand everything. Watch this. Everything. Yeah. That's for our YouTube viewers. By the way, we have more and more of those every week, don't we?
We do. We do.
Tell your friends. Look at my hair, though. I never look at my. Tell your friends to subscribe. It's important that you. Okay, you watch them. That's fine. But if you subscribe, but that doesn't mean you have to watch them. That means you can watch them. They're all in a row there for you.
Yeah.
And the subscriptions, if we get, 15,000 subscribers?
We become millionaires.
We get paid.
Yeah.
Right. And we got, 8,000 now? We need 7,000 more to get paid. Let's get it.
What do you get, like $1.50 or something like that?
Total, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 100. You get
We're still going to split that three ways, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's 50 cent for you, 50 cent for me, 50 cent for me. Well, you know, I like to end these podcasts. I should stop right there. I like to end them on a happy note. And since St. Patrick's Day is a day we're not going to be around here 5 days from now, and I'm being, you know, half Irish. Is anybody else here Irish? Raise your hand.
A little bit, yeah.
Ben's half-ish.
Half-ish.
Yeah.
But he's not. It's not.
I'm so not half.
We thought we'd get two Italian guys to sing an Irish song written by, Kevin Adams. My middle name is Kevin. It could have been me that wrote this if I hadn't been busy. And this is in celebration of the forthcoming holiday, St. Patrick's Day, on the 17th of March. It's held every year. Okay. This is a little thing I like to call Come On Eileen. Joe and Jerry, everybody.
You know, I dated a one-legged hitchhiker named Eileen.
That's a good one, Joan. You're kind of getting funnier in your old age. Let's do this thing.
Come on, Eileen. Clear my throat. Come on, Eileen. Poor old Johnny Ray said it sat upon the radio, but the billion hearts did want to know our mother's trade.
She was a whore, Joe.
Settled on who played them. You've grown, so grown. Now I must stay home, but never.
Tura, lura, lura, ralu, raya, yo, yay.
Nice job.
Well, we can sing this over and over, Joe.
Come on, Eileen, to Shaw's. At this moment, you mean everything. You in that dress, my thoughts, I confess. Well, they're dirty. Oh, come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Hand her a paper towel.
Come on, Eileen.
Ernie did, Joe. Things people around here will thank God. Wait a minute, I'm ahead of myself. It's one dry face, Joe, so we turn to what the fright is, but knowing the answer, we're far away. Who's singing this? Some drunk Irishman?
Come on, get it together, troop. Jesus Christ.
Tura, lura, tura, luraye.
You did it at Shaw's.
Here's my favorite part. Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear. Oh, come on. Let's take off everything, Eileen. Yeah, pretty you, I address, Eileen. Oh, come on. Come on, Eileen. Let's get this going here.
Yeah, pretty you, I address, Eileen. You have a sister?
I think it's time to go, Joe.